to Anything Goes podcast, hosted by Josh Bassett and my co-host Tom Cruise. The Anything Goes podcast is a light-hearted look into the day-to-day life behind the scenes of a professional rugby team.
Throughout the season, we'll be bringing on a series of special guests, discussing hot topics, while we'll also be inviting you to get involved along the way by asking questions on social media. And we'll also be adding in some competitions too. So without further ado, let's play darts!
Why darts? Because you're a hooker. Oh, mate, switch off the drive here.
Grow up.
Hello, and welcome back to your favourite podcast, Anything Goes. I am one of your co-hosts, Tom Cruise, and next to me is...
Josh Bassett. Thank you, Bradley. Great energy. Yeah. Oh, we've revealed our guests. Oh, no, I'm joking. They already know. But no, it's obviously great to have Bradley Shields with us this week. Obviously, he's been mentioned a lot in the first two podcasts, so it's nice, you know, to get his side of the story and clean his underpants. I mean, clear his name. But, no, welcome, Bradley Shields.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
You're excited?
I'm very excited. I'm a bit sweaty, but I'm very excited.
It is hot in here, isn't it?
Wee bit.
As
Sorry,
always.
Mate.
We're right.
you've actually made quite a bit of an appearance on the first two. You're basically the third host.
Yeah, well, after listening to my cameo appearances in the first two, I wasn't too sure what to expect in this third one, but I think I'm going to roll the punches and see how we get on.
Do you feel like we've taken advantage of you, mentioned you so much? Do you think we've, you know, kind of rubbed your name through the dirt in the first two? No,
well, you know what, if it's good class, if it's class art, as you call it in the podcast world, podcast art, then by all means, you've got to use it, so...
No, we appreciate that, obviously, you know, we wanted to get a few cheap laughs, and hopefully it's worked, and we apologise that it's had to be...
Lou laughed at me, but that's we weren't listening to her, so she couldn't...
That's right, as long as if the missus is happy, then it's okay, we've got away with it.
Happy wife, happy life, isn't it?
This is true.
I was actually speaking to Pudsey before, and he said that he's going through RPA counselling at the moment because of what happened with you and him at Exeter. Do you want to actually expand on what happened at Exeter, or do you want to get rid of that, or what?
What, first of all, was Pudsey's recollection correct?
It was pretty accurate, yeah, it was pretty accurate.
Do you think it was scarred in his memory, or...?
I think, as he said, I could be repeating this word for word, but we've got a bond here that no one else can take away.
That is pretty much word for word, so, you know.
It is.
But there's obviously a few details that can be swept under the carpet.
We apologise for that intermission. Brad's big beard was brushing all over the mic and we didn't know what was going on. We thought it was Pengate again. But, you know, we've sorted that out. We've actually shaved his beard live in the podcast. So when you see him next, it's completely gone.
Maybe when I do shave it in the future, we could use the podcast.
I've seen
material.
Brad shaven with, haven't I? With a lovely hair longer over to the side. And wow,
handsome.
What a handsome man. I would go as far as saying potentially most handsome man in the team. You've heard it.
Is it possible?
The look at the moment is very 2019, though, isn't it? Like he's got the beard, like manly looking,
edgy.
Yeah, I like
edge.
It a lot.
I think it's going out though. To be fair,
you think it's gone?
Yeah.
What, you think we might see the end of the beard this year?
Well, I'm not saying maybe this year, maybe
potentially join Pudsey with Brave the Shave.
Well,
and we have Pudsey doing his hair, Brad doing his beard for charity, good cause. Oh. Some of us have already donated. Some of us already donated
that as well.
We've definitely done that. Yeah, some of us already donated. Great cause, Ray the Shave. Potentially.
This could be the path to go down. I would love to do a sort of.
That sounds like a very much like a pot.
Yeah, one thing I'll say is if he does it, if we do it when Pudsey does it, we would maybe not have enough time to raise the right money.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Let Pudsey have his thing and then do a Bradley Shave one as well.
But you know, you and Pudsey got this bond, so it goes together, doesn't it? It like, sticks together.
We could hold hands while we do this.
Well, you could shave his and he could shave you. There you go.
There's lots of ideas floating around here.
We're just ideas, man.
Yeah.
That's all we are.
Yeah. I'll take it a little bit noisy, mate. How's pre-season been?
A little bit frustrating for myself. Obviously, spent a bit of time in the England camp. Which was great, and then picked up a wee injury along the way, which is a bit unfortunate, but I guess that's how football is. You both know how it is. But great to come back into the Wasp fold, although still not out there with the boys, just being amongst the group again, and obviously a few shifts this year and the way we're doing things, and it's really positive to see and be around here and hopefully be on the field next week or so.
How is the foot feeling?
Feels great. I've done a couple of good running sessions, so
seen you out there on that prowler.
Oh mate, that's some great stuff.
No, you're looking good, mate. So obviously, you know, going into that camping environment prior to the World Cup, it's always, you know, talked about how intense it is. You hear like the feedback, you see it in the press, or you know, you talk about some journalists say, you know, Wales, like how hard their camp is. Do you see England's camp as being as hard as everyone else's? Is there anything really different that they've done this time? Obviously, I don't want to get you to reveal too many trade secrets, and you might get told off. But you know, obviously, everyone always talks about how intense it is.
Yeah, so I suppose it's my like it's my first sort of involvement with a World Cup camp. So as far as expectation goes, obviously, some of the toughest stuff that I've done in my career. But I think for this type of sort of camp, it's mental as well. Like, because you've got a selection, there's guys coming in and out, they're cutting the squad down, you're there for a week, you're somewhere else for a week, you're back home for a week. Like, it's quite mentally draining. I think generally everyone can keep up with the fitness side of it or the rugby side of it. Everyone does the same thing pre-season majority. But I think it's just that mental step up when you've got to be on the whole time sort of thing, which can be quite tough sometimes.
Because obviously, one thing for me, obviously, I had a week in with the Bars week, which was like loved every minute of it. But I did find the same thing. Like, is there anything you do to kind of, you know, try and switch off when you're there, or are you just like straight in? You know, that's it. I know I'm in this environment. I'm just gonna mentally stay switched on, and then when I get a day off, just kind of try and switch off about it. Or is it just like all go all the time?
No, I think the good thing about it is that you get. Because you're away and you're not at home, you get time, like, so not everything's crammed into the day.
You're saying you get some good night's sleep.
I did not say that. Yeah. Now you get like, so you get a couple of hours to yourself during the day. So I think it's important that if you nail off like your role and what's expected of you during that time, then you can actually take a step back and say, okay, now I can rest or have a sleep or watch something on Netflix or whatever. And
that's, you're not down the park pushing swings, playing football in and out the whole time.
There's words in my mouth.
No, well, you know, I can just see the way you're looking at me. You know, if this was recorded, you'd see Brad, you know, he's telling me intently
to say it.
There's
a knife held in my throat.
You're just showing us one of his potties, so he's obviously exactly. He's a week away from cleaning those, isn't he, obviously.
That's one day. Yeah, so I guess it's just finding that time and connecting with the lads as well is a massive part of it. Like we do here, is going out for coffee or making time outside of rugby is important, because when you're on, you've got to be switched on, otherwise you're not going to last very long.
Is it nice, obviously, having at WAS, obviously having launchers, you know, Elliot that was here last year, is it nice going into that environment and having them faces? Obviously, you've been in and around the England squad now for quite a while, but does it help having them people from your club in that environment, or do you go in there and just, you know, try and, dare I say, make new friends and kind of, or is it nice having kind of that comfort blanket of, you know, someone there that you spend pretty much every day with, so it's nice to be able to just chill out with them? Or do you know, was there anyone you knew before you went in?
I think the best part for me was when I went to Africa in the summer tour, so I sort of got, from when I was playing in Wellington, taken straight across to South Africa, which was a bit of an unusual situation, but meeting them there and then coming back to WAS with them, it sort of started that relationship. Yeah. So I guess you're right in saying it's a comfort blanket, and you know guys there, so it's already got, the ice is already broken a little bit. But I think the biggest test is right, trying to get to know other people, because you're not there for the whole season, you're in and out sort of weeks at a time. So like you get a good connection with the back row, you find guys like generally that you're friends with, like it's like any environment, and it's just how you build on that really, and because that's how you become a great team as well, knowing your teammates, and the more you can do that, the better off the field, better on the field you're going to be. So try that, you know, stick out of your comfort zone a little bit, but it's good to have those guys there that you can sort of talk to if you're battling a little bit mentally, or if you need a pick up or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just a question that we had on social media was like the main difference that you found between us being in the Southern Hemisphere and coming into the Northern Hemisphere, just being in a squad, not necessarily obviously internationally, but being in a Southern Hemisphere squad compared to being at WASPs?
I think generally it's very similar, but obviously with WASP at the moment, the, like the academy
You've got guys with vast experience going from straight out of school to being here for 10 or 20 years.
10 or 12 years.
I know Simo did look like he'd been here for 20 years.
I thought he looked 60, but he isn't.
So there's that. That's a bit of a difference I find as well. Like sometimes in New Zealand, there's like you, generally guys have been around for a little bit, or the academy might train completely separate to the Super Rugby team. You might get the old guy coming straight out of school, but being in the same environment sort of highlights that one club sort of mentality. There's lots of different paths you can come from.
Yeah, because obviously Super Rugby being, it's more of like a franchise-based teams, isn't it? So you're obviously in and out, you know, there's not that many games, is there, in a season. Mm-hmm. So you're finding it more here, like being around the lads all the time. Is it easier to build them relationships with who you're playing with instead of like in that Super Rugby where it's like a short block and then you're back to your Mitre 10 Cup?
Mitre 10 Cup, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right, and lots of guys still stay with the Mitre 10 Cup team, but guys do go back to Auckland or they go back down south, like depending on where they're from. So you have got that sense of guys coming from different. You've got to create a good culture within, you know, what's 6 weeks pre-season or something like that. So it's a little bit challenging, but once you grow that sort of core base and you grow your standards and you grow your environment, then no matter who comes in and out, then that sort
they
of...
They just slot straight in.
They have to. They've got no choice. So
you always see those pictures knocking about Twitter, don't you? And I think it's usually New Zealand clubs, like randomly, like a Martin O'Neill will just be knocking about running out for his local club.
Yeah.
I always think, like, over here, obviously, that would never happen because, like, contracts and stuff, you wouldn't just rock up. You're only the non-23, just rock up for Stockport on a Saturday afternoon. It just would never happen, would it?
Well, that's where it starts.
Is that allowed in contracts? Is that, would that be used as like a return to play if you're coming back from an injury, and that's signed off for, and that's, you know, because I think that would be the thing here, wouldn't it? It would be more, you obviously, we have like the A-League, the Premiership Shield, and stuff like that, where you can get your return to play there. Obviously, I guess that's not.
I think it's a sort of a similar thing, except like the club rugby, it's like the three tiers, so you got Super Rugby, Mitre 10 Cup, then your club rugby. And I think the A-League and stuff like that is sort of similar to that, whereas, but it's not a WASP brand, it's more, you got, like you say, what was the club you just said?
Stockport.
Stockport, yeah.
You've not heard of Stockport?
Did you see the disgust on his face there?
I apologise for my Stockport friends listening.
That's the whole of Stockport, isn't it? They've really bought into this podcast.
Yeah, you know,
they've had the living legend Tom Cruise.
I think we're up to 22 5-star reviews now.
We are, correct.
All from Stockport.
A lot of them will be.
All from Stockport. Thank you, Stockport.
We're a close-knit community in Stockport. SK.
Obviously, you're a full-blooded Englishman. As we know,
this is correct.
But
you do sound still a bit Kiwi. Is that because, you know, Big Jeff's turned up, Malachi, Lima here, even Jimmy, his like Kiwi accent's gone through the roof recently. I heard you a couple of weeks ago, and do you want to do your English accent that you were doing before?
Which one's it?
The one where you say, "Can I have a cup of tea, mate?" You sound like Russell Brand. Do you want to do a little impression? Do you want to do a little try?
It's going to be embarrassing.
Well, you know, that's why we're here.
What, like, do you want a cup of tea, bud?
Not bad. How would you... So, obviously, in England, there's a big debate whether it's Bath or Bath.
Oh, yeah.
Scone or scone. How would you say it? And don't let... You know, we've got two probably opposite ends of the spectrum here.
It's interesting, because traditionally, I would probably say scone, but I've actually started to say scone.
Oh!
On the flip side, I used to say yogurt, and now I say yogurt. So
it's not yogurt, I'm telling you. Sorry,
that wasn't one of the options we gave Brad. He's just totally gone on. That is not English, as we
So what you're saying is you're sitting on the fence and you kind of say both.
Yeah, well, I think, yeah.
What do you say, Bath?
Preference.
I say Bath.
Bath.
And scone.
I say Bath and scone.
Scone. Oh, Bath.
You just stop repeating over and over.
He's like, oh no, I've got to sound English.
And on that topic, we were sat, weren't we, having breakfast the other day, and Big Jeff was talking about what type of person you are at a restaurant, whether you're someone who complains about stuff and takes it back or not. Go on, what are you? So if you're right, you've ordered a nice little poached eggs, and they've come out and they're hard inside. What's going on there? You sending them back, or?
I'm scoffing them back.
You eating them?
You're scoffing them, not? What, you're scoffing them, then giving them back?
I'm eating them. Okay. I'm eating them and not saying a word.
And not saying, so...
No.
But would you complain, dare I say it, this is real, I would be like, these eggs, and I'd eat it all, and then I'd complain to my missus, and then I think me and Cruzy were saying this earlier, and we'd be like, this way, the waiter or the waitress would come over, and they'd be like, anything wrong with it? We'd be like, absolutely lovely. Best meal I've had. Best meal I've had.
Best eggs I've ever had. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
So it is true. That is, I think, the sign of an Englishman, dare I say it. And he's part of the text.
Jack Owlett was saying, no, if I get hard eggs, I'm complaining, I'm taking them
you
back.
You can tell that about the Big Owl.
Do you reckon he's got that about
him? I think he has, yeah.
To be honest, though, I wish...
Good old 60-40.
We won't expand on that story. I wish I was someone who would complain and get more food, but I'm too... I think I'm just... It's not out of... It's embarrassment more than anything else. I'm probably should complain because you spend your money, don't you, and you want good food, and you probably should get it.
I think I've got the best example. So when you go for a haircut, when the hairdresser, the barber.
No, give him a shout out, mate.
The barber,
the Turkish hairmaster.
That's who you.
Give him a shout out.
Like Groom Barber Club, Sam Coldfield.
Shout out to Turkish hairmaster, barber Omar and Kenilworth, if you're listening.
Obviously, I don't do this anymore because I go to my favourite barber. He looks after me. But you know, when you're younger, and some people may still be going through this traumatic time when it comes to the end of the haircut, and they lift up that mirror. And they say, how is it, mate?
Oh, it looks good.
No, no matter, they could have done, and trust me, I've had some rogue haircuts in the past.
Yeah.
You always say, yeah, perfect. And then you walk out and you're like, what have I done? Is that the same for everyone, you think?
I think you two have got really good lids, to be fair. What? I don't think I've got a hair to stand on.
I think I'm on my last haircut, but you know, we'll go from there.
But you know, I think you two are quite sharp looking, so I suppose you take pride in your appearance quite a lot, don't you? So have you had a bad haircut?
I've had a few, but I think it's like the initial phase is for a week you're like not happy, and then after that it sort of grows out a little bit and you get a bit more comfortable and then it's fine.
Do you think as well, have you ever had where you sit down and they just do something straight away and you're thinking, what are they doing?
What have they done that?
And you just get more and more agitated the whole way through and they keep asking you, like, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And then they do your hair at the end. And why is it always they've seen how you come in with your hair, they finish, they style it, and you're looking and you're thinking, I'm sorry, I'm trying to hide the receder. Why are you pulling it back? I don't want to slip back. And then as soon as you get outside, you straighten a car, sorting it back out.
Yeah.
See, that, like I said, that doesn't happen anymore. I've got my barber, he does a very good job. But, you know...
Oh, I'm with you, yeah.
There's some big fears. I reckon it's one of the most traumatic times, you know, if you go to a barber that you don't trust.
I hate having my hair cut, I'm not going to lie. I just find it really awkward.
And I suppose it's like, what are they really going to do? Are they going to pick up the hair off the floor and, like,
set the hair
back on? Like, yeah, there we go.
Well, I've had a haircut where I haven't liked it, and I've just said, oh, you know what, I've changed my mind, just shave it off.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
But you didn't say because...
But I didn't say because... oh, you've done an average job. I just said, get rid of it. I've changed my mind, I don't want it anymore.
Oh, I think that was over here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I actually remember that.
Oh, is that how you ended up with that shaved head?
That's how I changed my hair, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I have had a shaved head in the past, so I knew it was gonna be alright, I'd be comfortable with it. But it's the first time I've seen you with a short lid.
Yeah, at the moment it needs a...
The tennis ball.
Yeah, it needs a cut, it's very tennis ball at the moment.
It's alright, it's still a decent length.
Yeah.
Blonde hair works out there.
Yeah, it looks a bit shorter, doesn't
it?
Well, jacking for media day, a bit of a haircut on Tuesday before.
Yeah, I was thinking about dyeing mine.
No way.
Yeah.
Bieber?
Going for the Sergio Aguero.
Oh my.
All over.
So like white?
Yeah.
Oh my.
Is that like, is that pretty look?
Russell, white.
No. Oh, true. Oh my. That's
no, I obviously thought of it before him and, you know.
Dude, he's done it though.
Josh Robshaw.
similar players.
Yeah, very
similar players. Gritty.
Yeah, gritty.
Working at the breakdown.
Yeah.
Stop giving away our calls, mate.
If Cos is listening, he's going to be like, that's the wrong word. Sorry.
Yeah, good. Double bluffed him.
Yeah.
So for all the other rugby players that are listening, obviously, we know we get everyone from all the clubs across the country.
Yeah.
You didn't hear that from us. No, yeah, it might be going with the whole full dyed lid, but, you know. No, I mean, I'll probably bottle it, so...
Yeah. So, Brad, moving on.
Yes.
We have given you the nickname Weird Brad. Are you aware of that?
I'm aware of it, yeah.
He's generally been behind your back. Yeah.
I'm still slightly confused.
He's generally been hearing it round corners. Where me and him are like, what about that Weird Brad? Oh, hi, Big Brad, Brad. Hi, Great Beard Brad.
One of the questions that we got was off David Berkeley on Instagram, and he said, what's the weirdest thing that Weird Brad has ever done? But I reckon that this is a layered question. I think, one, do you understand why you get the nickname Weird Brad?
Yeah, understand, because it is... I like that choice of word.
Not entirely.
No, see, okay, interesting. What's the weirdest thing that Brad's ever done? I think this will answer the first question. Do you think you've ever done anything weird?
Is this a loaded question? Like, have you got an answer for me?
I seem to remember one event in the changing room last year where I'll fill the listeners in. On a Friday, if we've got a game on a Saturday, we get breakfast baps. And one time, Brad took his particular breakfast bap into the showers with him. So naturally, you would eat it outside the shower because, as you know, if underneath a shower, it'll get wet. No, Brad just took his in, and just eating a soggy breakfast bap in the shower and just eating it as if it was the most normal thing in the world.
That's so weird.
And I think that might have been the first time I ever called him Weird Brad.
It's stuck ever since, isn't
it? Yeah, in a soggy breakfast bap.
Do you agree that that is weird?
I don't think it's too weird, because I'm thinking...
Well, that proves how weird you are.
So, yeah, you're
weird. A little bit weird, yeah. I don't know. I also think that I want to get two things done at once. So if I sit there and eat my bap, then I'm probably going to take a little bit long to get ready. Whereas if I eat it in the shower, I can do...
Yeah.
What, you're washing your armpits with a bag? And then
efficient, Brad,
we call it. Efficient.
Maybe that should be the nickname.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other weird stuff.
I've got one as well. Also, I don't know whether it's a Southern Hemisphere thing, but you shower before games in the changing room.
No, so that... so.
Which we've obviously... I've never been around anyone who's done that before. Especially anyone that's Northern Hemisphere. Mm. I haven't heard of
so
it.
So this is Dan... was on the first episode saying this, right? So you do like, so some teams do a primer before you play, and because the games are slightly earlier in the afternoon, usually you play at 7:30 at night or something like that. So at home I do a little primer, like do a couple of, there's like a back row with bins and stuff, so I do a couple of sprints and a body weight stuff, and I wouldn't have a shower after that, so I'd be still sweaty. And I'd go to the stadium. Once I have a shower, I feel like I'm fresh, ready to go. Like, that's my...
So before a game, back in New Zealand, you'd be doing sprints on the streets at home?
No, as a team.
Oh,
sorry,
as a team.
Yeah,
tackling bins, he said. Tackling Jacqueline bins.
So like, your team would have been on the streets?
No, in a, like, say, a gym somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like
just the way you described that, then I was like, oh, right.
Well, I don't know where else to go in my house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, right, okay. So the shower was really because you were a bit sweaty, you wanted to feel...
And I want to feel fresh and, like, clean.
And I get it, I get it.
To be fair, I'd probably, if I had a shower at home, I'd probably still come and have another shower straight away.
Is it because it's become part of the routine?
I think so, yeah.
So you feel like mentally...
I'm not superstitious or anything.
But you just feel like mentally it gets you in the right frame of mind.
Because sometimes you probably get it, sometimes you feel a bit dozy before a game, like yawning a bit, and sometimes a bit of a shower just wakes you up a little bit as well.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah?
Definitely.
Still it is a bit weird, though, because sometimes I've been strapped... before.
Yeah, that is that weird. Oh, yeah.
I don't plan that sometimes.
You've got your double ankle strapping in and he comes out with wet straps. It's like you're wearing your boots.
I've got a story about this strapping, actually. Just you've reminded me of that. Do you remember Will Stewart last year had come in on a Tuesday to get some treatment on his ankles and still had the strapping on from the Monday session before? So he'd gone all day without a shower and come in the next day, still had his strapping on.
Safety first, isn't it? You know, walking up them stairs at home, you need an ankle strap. Well, you know, might be off the curb. Bang. So.
Or he might be eating one of those little chocolate puddings walking down the stairs.
Yeah, exactly. You
know. How many thick and creamies was it in 3 minutes?
Some
30? That was insane.
No, was it 30? Or have I given him a lot more than
that? It was 18, he had 18 yogurts in 3 minutes. And I think we worked out as like 3,500 calories in 3 minutes.
And he didn't touch the sides, did it?
You should have seen him in the gym afterwards. Oh my. He couldn't see.
He had thick and creamy coming out of his eyes. He was blinded by thick and creamy.
He was crying yogurt.
Yogurt tears. Maybe that's what...
Yogurt, you mean?
Maybe that's what's on the yogurt-covered Skittles. Isn't it? Dan Robson.
Will Stewart's tears.
Will Stewart's tears. That's where he is now. He's in the Skittle Factory just crying at the end. And Jack Willis broke the Apple Bobbin record, didn't he?
How many did he get? I missed that meeting.
I think it was like, well, whatever the record was, he beat it.
Have you seen his flexibility?
He's
unbelievable.
He might as well put the bin between his legs behind him.
He can do a flat out split.
Yeah, that's
funny. Which is
crazy for a footy player.
Have you seen Jack Willis eat?
No.
Oh my.
Well, I saw him eat at Nando's, to be fair. We went for a back row dinner and he ordered like two of the big roast, double meat things, whatever they are.
Wasn't this, so you had to do this as a fine, didn't you?
No,
you had to do this as a fine, but what's funny about it is, you had to take the whole back row for a Nando's, but didn't all the lads just like proper cash in? Like Tom Willis was there, obviously. Like, I think it was like last year, so he was on an academy wage, so you just ordered like two whole platters and just taking stuff home and stuff.
That was it, yeah. We went up for a Nando's and boys filled their boots, which was great, you know. Good team bonding. Maybe I should get a fine all the time.
Yeah, you should.
Have we brought the dash roll back this year?
No.
We've not had one yet, have we?
No. Not yet.
Maybe we need one because stories like that are brilliant.
Exactly. Bring back the dice roll.
Bring back Will Stewart eating 18 yoghurts before the gym.
Just bring him back just for that. Sorry, Stu, you've got to come back.
Just be careful of the trap three afterwards.
Oh my gosh.
You take a day off from the Skittle Factory, we need you back in.
That poor toilet's taken a big sigh of relief after he's left the club, hasn't
he? It has, definitely. Trap one is back open for business.
Any questions, John Boy?
So I think another one we had on Twitter from Steve Skillin.
He's an avid watcher. He came to the club signing. He's an absolute legend.
Steve,
shout out Steve. Thanks for listening, mate.
He's given us some great feedback, and he's always, you know, on Twitter giving us
positive, isn't he?
Positive, giving us some questions. So shout out to him. He said, "Was Wasps your first choice club? First choice of an English club, and if so, why?"
It was. There was a couple, but I think Wasps sort of stood out for me because I've always played in black and yellow colours since I was.
It's black and gold, man.
Black and gold.
Right.
Black and amber, or whatever. This is awkward.
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
Hello, gold.
Sorry, okay, mate, we're not the Canes anymore.
Anywho, so I've played in that. So I thought, like, if there's any team, if I was to ever go, this is when I was younger, this is when I was like 16, 17, 18. If there's any team that I'd want to go and play for, because I used to watch Heineken Cup and stuff, I was like, man, Wasps would be the perfect team to come. And when like the offer to come to the club sort of popped up, I was like, I think that's the club that I want to go to. You know, free flowing game, scoring lots of tries, seems like lots of fun. So I was like, bingo.
Suppose that raises the question then. So you said then that you, when you're like 16, 15, 16, thinking about coming over to England, is that something that you've always had in your mind, that you were going to come over to England and play your rugby here, or?
I guess I knew that I had some heritage here, and obviously my parents were born here. So
some heritage. You're fully English.
Fake accent now, mate. Yeah. You work with us now.
Where's your cup of tea now, eh?
Yeah, so obviously I thought, you know, there was always a possibility, and obviously thought I'd give it a crack in New Zealand because where I was sort of born and brought up, I guess. And once my parents sort of moved over here, I sort of thought, you know, it might be an opportunity for me to head over as well. And
do you think that really helped, obviously, your mum and dad moving back over here? Obviously, it's such a big move, and you obviously see the lads that don't come up and have that support network. Do you think that's helped you like so much with coming in and just being able to, you know, just crack on straight away with your rugby, not worry about too much because you have them so close?
Yeah, massively, and it's important for Lou and Charlie as well, because to go across the other side of the world, you know, to move your family over is quite a big deal. And obviously, some guys in the team that have done that as well, and to have them here, they pretty much helped set up our house. Went out and did all the basics, dropping IKEA stuff and all that. So when we showed up, it was like food in the cupboard, and that, like, the small things like that make a massive difference when you're jet lagged. And I had to come to training the next day when we flew in, so it was crazy time. But I think it did help, and I think gives a bit of security for Lou as well, and a bit of, you know, someone can be there for her as well, which is good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So and Charlie's born. Yes?
No, she was born in New Zealand.
So she's got both. So she could be a Black Fern or England Women's.
Yeah.
A Red Rose.
Red Rose. He's done his homework.
Absolutely done me that. Fair play. No, you've got fair play.
Well, yeah, and who knows? We could have another addition to the family who would be born in England. So, who knows? But yeah, she was born. I think she was just under one when her first birthday was in November here. So we've been here for a few months.
Are you worried about her having an English accent?
She's already got one.
She's already got one.
Daddy.
That's where you learn yours from.
Yeah, she's teaching me. Mummy, Daddy.
So, should we move on to one of our favourite games that the fans are loving? And it is... have you got them?
I do.
Drinks of energy, John.
What?
Have you got them on you?
The
sweets?
Yes, mate. I've got them on me now.
Okay. Ready, Brad?
Well, can I tell a story first about it?
Is it about the sweets?
It's not about these sweets, but it's about the sweets that you told me to get.
Come on, then.
Well, I didn't know we were playing the game, so...
Well, that obviously proves he isn't a listener, so unfortunately that's where the podcast is going to end this week.
So I hadn't listened to the section of the podcast.
Oh, of course.
I've had to rustle up what I could, and they're not the most glorious sweets, but they're sweets.
Three times now we've said bring in your favourite sweets so we can judge them. You know,
it blows my mind.
You know, like I said, we've done a course on judging people by their sweets, and I don't think we've been able to do that because everyone's just trying to sabotage this game.
Well, these are delicious sweets, and I do love the sweets.
Okay, Brad, well then, reveal your sweets! Ooh.
What are they?
Ooh.
Oh, sour snakes.
Hello.
Happy shopper.
You could say sour snakes. Say sour worms. They are...
No, we would say sour snakes because that's what it says on the packet, Brad.
Can I just say something about Happy Shopper? Did you ever have a year six disco and have pick and mix at the disco?
Yes.
And it was full Happy Shopper pick and mix.
Panda pops left, right and centre.
Yeah.
Getting that sugar rush running round.
Yeah.
Where do you get them from?
Pickled onion crisps.
What?
Where do you get the sweets from?
What are you on about?
Yeah, where do you get them from?
I
didn't buy them.
What are you going on about?
You didn't buy those?
No, I didn't buy those. They were my choice, but I didn't necessarily buy them. I could have a few options, but I didn't get them from the store. I had them at my humble abode.
You had them at home?
Yes.
So these could be out of date.
So these are Lou's favourite sweets?
Well, the first of 2021.
No, they're in date. It's okay. It's not a Pudsey Bevan episode again. Right, shall we...
No, I'll tell the truth. I got them from Pudsey, yeah.
Did you?
Yes. I asked Pudsey if he could help me out, because... The simple fact that I got told to bring some sweets in, and I gave them to you thinking that you wanted a treat on the podcast, and revealed my sweets, my personal.
He revealed his sweets way too early. He revealed his sweets 24 hours too early. It's a not common problem for
Brad. But there was a few packets to pick from, obviously. You know, Pudsey, you got a million different types of sweets.
So we could have had this instead of that horrible licorice.
So he did actually have them ready, didn't he?
He sabotaged. Okay, so should we dig in? I think, you know, appearance... Pretty good, liking the packaging.
Yeah, it says any two for £1, and he's only brought one pack, which is a little bit disappointing. But...
Yeah, very disappointing. Take a quick smell. Oh, fruity.
Very good.
Very good. Very good smell so far. Appearance. Would you like to take your snake, or as Brad calls them, worms? Weird. Weird worms for weird Brad.
Give Brad one.
Come on, Brad.
Do you all go at the same time?
Yeah.
One, two, three. I can tell you now that they're the best ones yet. Not hard, but...
100% best ones yet. Wouldn't say that sour, though. Would you? Sour enough?
I think they're sour enough to give them the name Sour Snake, but they're not, the most sour
things
in the world.
For me, if you're having a sour sweet, I want to be like... You know, the guy off Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want the full shebang.
Are you a big sour sweet man?
Yeah, I do like them. I like that real, sharp, intense sourness.
I've got the saliva in my mouth.
Yeah. Like that. It's produced, not like the licorice where it was actually
that
heaving.
That was sick saliva, that one.
Yeah,
wasn't
that was disgusting. Definitely the best yet. Appearance, opening, good sugary coating.
Yeah.
Definitely says weird, though, you know, on that. On the course we did, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm just going to give a score of 6 out of 10. I think you like to break it down a little bit more. So you go packaging, appearance, taste.
Packaging, 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's enough. There's an alien on it for some reason. I don't know why that has anything to do with sourness.
Yeah, I agree.
Appearance, I'll give a 7. I'll give pretty high. I think they look nice. They look inviting. You know, I want to have another one. Taste, 6, just because they're not sour enough. But other than that, all round the best sweet we've had yet so far.
So round that up.
So just quickly work that out. That works out at a, what have we done? A 6.
6?
Yeah. So
math, 6 out of 10.
That's not bad, is it?
Yeah.
No, that's the highest scoring so far.
Trust me, that's a lot better than what we've had previously.
Well, licorice doesn't even get past 1.
Thank you.
Sorry, Paddy, I love you, mate, but...
But also, I'm going to knock you down 1 because you didn't actually purchase them. So we're going for a 5. Yeah.
So we've had a 5, a 3, and a 1.
Yeah.
What did Dan bring in?
Dan brought Will Stewart's tears covered Skittles.
Oh, Skittles.
Which, if I'd have known that before.
Yogurt Skittles.
It's yogurt. See, look, it's kiwi Skittles. Again, isn't it? Because Jeff just popped in.
Yeah, she just ticked me.
Oh, see, look, that's why. No, yeah, if I'd have known they were Will Stewart covered, then.
Yeah, you don't want to be drinking Will Stewart's tears. That's not ideal, is it?
Only if they come on.
What's the packet? They've got jelly lollies mixed, they've got sour lollies. Starts with H? H?
Lollies, sour lollies.
You trying to think of Haribo?
Yeah, those ones.
Haribo.
Yes. Well, I thought I wasn't exactly sure what they actually
Haribo?
Were. I don't look at the word.
Yeah, Haribo.
Haribo. Yeah.
I just eat the sweets.
Yeah.
But those are good sweets.
Well, you can't come in telling us about these other good sweets if you haven't provided
but
them.
I'm just
unfortunately, that is
sour.
What you've been judged
on. Can I ask
on?
You what your favourite sweets are?
Probably like a chocolate caramel chew.
Right, okay.
So that would have been a high scoring sweet. But unfortunately for you.
I didn't bring them.
It's like a Poppets. Gonna... Have you had Poppets?
No.
You know what Poppets
you
are?
Know,
don't
you know, I'll tell you what, you know, like they're like milks, they're called milk sticks things.
Oh, yeah? Milk
they're
bottle.
Like flat, and they're like chocolate on the outside, caramel on the inside. I'm going to bring some in. Sorry.
It's too late now.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll buy
sorry.
It again later.
You
think you're coming away? Back on?
Not on the show.
You think you get a second episode?
Alright,
you've had 3, you've been in the first 2 by, you know, name. Not this one, this is you out. You're out of the picture after this.
Oh, last dig.
No, obviously, yeah, like we said, well done, Brad.
Can I have another one?
Slash Pudsy. Right,
yeah,
get stuck
sweets.
In. They're
no, you guys
definitely warranted. I think we're going to now move on to.
Or either all game. Have you listened long enough to you have?
No.
Have you actually?
Yeah.
Honesty.
Okay.
Either all.
Yeah.
Nah.
I knew it.
Perfect.
I've then. Pretty much listened to most of the podcast, but I
well,
was...
Well, it doesn't sound like it, because you've missed probably the 2, you know...
Bits yeah, but
that
I was
gone.
Fast
They've
forward.
Gone viral. The
so
sweet game
said,
has gone viral.
What Cruz said was listen to your part on the podcast. So I was sort of listening, and then I fast forward a little bit, listen, and fast forward a little bit, listen.
It's
so
perfect that you've not listened to it.
Okay.
So that should get the listeners really excited, because
yeah.
they've not listened now. So basically, what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you something or something, quick fire, and
yeah.
you just have to pick one of them,
okay.
and we'll move on to the next one, okay?
Yes.
It's going to be quite short.
I've
so
definitely heard of the game before.
Yeah,
I
that's weird, because we invented it, so...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true.
Here we go. Pig or cow?
Pig.
Under or armour?
Armour.
Chris or Tom?
Chris.
Wasps or canes?
Wasps.
Table or chair?
Chair.
Wallace or Gromit?
Gromit.
Milk or water?
Milk.
Old school or new school?
Old school.
Beer or lager?
Lager.
Cider or vodka?
Cider.
Cruise or Bassett?
Oh! I'm still 1-0 down. I'm gutted. You were getting Bassett.
I think
you did say Bassett, genuinely.
No,
I think
mate,
it's 1-0.
Honestly, no.
I'm sorry, I can't do it.
No, that I like that about you, Brad, to be honest.
Yeah,
honest bloke, aren't you?
I'm not going to... I'm not going to put a divide through.
You can't split anything go up,
mate,
can you?
You just can't
who,
do it.
Why? What do you mean 1-0? Who gave it? Who's it?
Pudsey.
Pudsey.
I was fuming last week. Out of nowhere. I think it's because I mugged his sweets on. It nearly made me sick. I don't think Cruzy even tried the licorice, and he was like, oh, I was looking at Cruzy and then winking at him, and I donated to his
What did you end up donating? 150?
Yeah, on air, money. Live on air, and he's chucked me under the bus like that.
150, you are cash money Bassett.
No, it's for a good cause, and obviously, like we said, anyone that hasn't donated so far, it'd be great to, you know, see the donations is going up and up. I think he's on
12, 15 or something.
So we need to get him up to 1500, so to get his beard off as well. It's Brave the Shave, and the link will be on @everykitmanknows, which is on Twitter. So have a look at that if you can donate. Every little counts and going towards Macmillan. So a very, very good course.
Definitely. And we've also got to be very cheeky and ask if it was possible for everyone listening to review the podcast on the platform they listen to, whether that's iTunes, Android, Google,
Spotify,
Audio Boom, whatever you're on, please, you know, give us a review. Hopefully it's 5 stars.
And also, just to remember, this is the People's Podcast. So be very honest with your reviews. Let us know whatever we can do to make the podcast grow. All the feedback helps. So just let us know. Any questions, we'll try and give you the next guest as early as possible so you can fire in any questions and basically make us the best podcast that we can.
Definitely.
And
on that note, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, Brad,
for being here
and being so honest and letting, you know, us take the mick out of you for a couple of weeks. We're going to have to find someone else with some dirt on.
To pick on.
I've got thick skin, guys. I'm always open to it.
Yeah, no, you have to be fair to you, mate.
But no, thank you very much. That's all from me.
And all from me. And just for everyone to remember, any sting goes.